In a stadium rich with tradition, the lights shine the brightest. This is The Camp. Now, here's your host, Zach Heilprin, on the Wisconsin Sports Zone Radio Network.
Yes, welcome into The Camp here on the Wisconsin Sports Zone Radio Network. I'm Zach Heilprin, no Jesse Temple. It's been a few weeks since we had an episode, but packed a lot of stuff into this one, as had conversations with former fullback Matt Bernstein, of course, my former co-host here on the show, caught up with him, everything that's been going on with him over the past year, including his new baby daughter, first-time dad for him. Also caught up with John McNamara from BadgerBlitz.com to talk about what is going to be a huge, huge recruiting month in June as the normal recruiting calendar gets going again. June 1st is going to be, Wisconsin's class in 2022 right now has one committed. It could have significantly more by the time July 1st rolls around. So we get into that, talk about some of the guys that Wisconsin is after. And then also chatting with 2022 quarterback commit Miles Burkett out of Franklin. Had a nice conversation with him, as he is currently Wisconsin's only commit, but certainly that is going to change. Talk about kind of where he is at, his process and the route to where he got a scholarship, and kind of his mentality and the little chip on his shoulder that he has right now, with including some of the things that were said about him by an Iowa coach. But we'll get to all that coming up here over the next hour and change. But first up, it will be Matt Bernstein. And we do welcome in a very special guest. Everybody knows who he is. It is one of the faces on the Mount Rushmore fullbacks. It's former Badger Matt Bernstein. Bernie, how's it going, man?
It's great. It's great. I actually need that picture, you know, blown up, framed, and put on my wall.
Oh, it's funny you say that. Last year, I actually did that. It was kind of a Mount Rushmore, but it was more like a top five of the all-time Wisconsin fullbacks. I did it with Brady Ewing. Yeah. And he had you on there. He had you up there. So
you're such a good dude.
Yeah. And you're number one on my list. So I think that's probably what matters most. It was kind of awkward doing it though. Like, I love Brady. Like, Brady's a really cool dude, and he's like the nicest guy I've ever met. Like, I had always heard that about him.
He is the nicest dude. He really is.
And he's obviously a fantastic player too, but I had to put him at number two, of course, because I had you at number one. So, but he understood. It's all good. But,
I mean, if you're talking about specific Wisconsin only,
yes,
then I think I take him. But if you're talking about career, there's a lot of dudes who are better than me, and Brady's definitely one of them.
We were talking about Wisconsin specific.
Then, so like, yeah, then I'm definitely up there.
Yeah,
that makes sense.
Okay, yeah, no, yeah, I would love
to hear, Zach. I put Cecil Martin up there at number one.
See, Cecil was on my list. I think he was either number – I think it went – I'll have to go back and look. I think it went you, Brady, Cecil, Mark Montgomery, and I think Alec Ingold. Do you remember Mark Montgomery? Do you know who Mark Montgomery is?
Was he like in the 90s?
He was the fullback when they went to the Rose Bowl the first time.
In 93, right?
For Brent Moss and Terrell Fletcher.
You'll love this. I was watching the Michigan. This is how absolutely bananas I am. I was watching on the Big Ten Network the 93 Michigan State game in Japan last night.
That was a fun game,
man. It's amazing. Whenever Wisconsin's on, no matter what years it is, I just watch it. Like, I can't get enough of it.
I remember watching that game. I think it was like 11 or 12, and it was a late game. Like, it didn't start until like 9 or 10 o'clock Wisconsin time. But it was also if they wanted to go to the Rose Bowl type of thing. So I got to stay up and watch it. It was it's one of those games you remember, for me at least, remember where you are, what you were doing type of thing, because it was just so unreal that they win that and they go. But
it was cool. It was really cool. And those, you know, those guys all had the huge helmets, the huge face mask with the bar down the middle. Yeah. You know, everything was the shoulder pads. They look like monsters to me. And I'm like, but I played with guys who were bigger than them. It's just the pads were ridiculously big.
Right. Like the offensive linemen were all, they were right around 300, but they were still smaller than
what they ended up being just like 5 or 6 years later with like Aaron Gibson and Tauscher and McIntosh and all those guys. But
yeah,
yes. So we'll get to football, but I wanted to catch up. It's been a while, man. It's been over a year since we had a chance to talk, and you've had quite a few life events, but obviously the biggest one for you, you're now a dad. It's Papa Bernstein. You had a beautiful little girl, Maple, I believe is what her name is. She, the cutest thing ever. You've been sharing pictures on Facebook and Instagram. What's it like to be a dad?
I mean, whatever people say about it, like you can never understand what they're saying until you are a father. You know, it's like, you know, dad jokes are real. Anything like that, dad jokes or dad, you know, we're getting New Balances, all that stuff is like the most real, you know, like all I think about is like, should I be wearing New Balances right now? But I'm holding a baby for 10 hours. But it's really an unbelievable feeling. You know, like my wife and I created a human being. And it's just so fun. Like, you know, I'm up today. I was up at 6:45. And she just smiles at you the whole time. Like she's smiling at me and you know, like there's nothing I can do. I just melt. Yeah. So if she wants a bottle at any point, she gets a bottle. I'm probably like the worst at just giving her what she wants, but I feel like that's going to be forever. So it's really special. I couldn't be more happy. She's gorgeous. She's so funny to me. I put up a picture the other day of her looking at my mom when she was burping her. That was like, if you guys on my Instagram, it makes me laugh every time. It's on my screensaver on my phone. It's the funniest picture I've ever seen. And it just, you can almost hear the words that she's thinking.
Yeah. Like, what are you doing? I'm looking at it right now, actually. She's like, what are you doing?
Put the bottle back in my mouth. What are you doing? It's so funny.
Did you have a welcome to parenthood moment at any point here these last few months?
Oh boy. I don't know. I feel like, you know, day one in the hospital, first off, they never tell you what to expect in the hospital. Everything you see on TV is wrong and not real. You know, it was so cool that, you know, the second the baby came out of my wife and they put the baby on her chest, like to me, that was like, oh my God. Like I almost started crying. I'm not really a crier. And that was real. I was really close to it.
Yeah.
And it was just such a surreal moment. And right away, I was like, I'll do anything for you. It's so weird. Like I've never changed a diaper before that day. And now I'm like, oh, there's a dirty diaper. Let me get in that. It's all me. Let me get that.
That is, you know, weird.
It's weird. It's weird. I've been, you know, peed on. I have got crap all over me and all my shirts have spit up. I haven't showered in 2 days. And to be honest, like I'm happy. Like I don't care. Like it's so fun. And it's really not easy no matter what they say, but it is a lot of fun. You know, my surreal moment was she had to do phototherapy because the jaundice, she had something because her blood type and my wife's didn't match. And then so the jaundice was like more scary than normal. I guess every baby has it. But usually they like, as they go to the bathroom, they kind of piss it and crap it out. Mm-hmm. And we had to put her naked almost with a diaper on in this photo booth. It's actually, as you Google, like all this stuff, it's really safe with all these lights. It's kind of like a tanning bed. And we had to leave her there. They're like, you can stay, but the room you're in has no seats. So like you'd be sleeping on the floor if you fell asleep. So it was like really, that was really hard to like leave her at the hospital for a night.
Yeah.
And then come back. And she was great. You know, I was waking up every hour at 2 a.m. I was like, hey, hi nurse. It's Matt Bernstein again. She's like, yeah, your baby's fine. I'm like, all right, I'll call you back in 45 minutes. You know, it's like, it's just that type of stuff that it's just so different.
Right.
I know I'm rambling on about it, but it's really, I don't know.
Yeah, it's great.
You like, you sit there and you're like, are you going to like this music? I don't even know what are you going to do in life? You know, are you going to like, what foods are you going to like? Are you going to eat chicken wings like your dad? Or are you not? You know, it's just so weird to sit there and just ponder over what the possibilities are. You know, are you going to go to college? Are you not? Are you going to go to Wisconsin? You better go to Wisconsin. You know, so there's only like one or two colleges that she cannot go to.
And what are those?
Michigan's number 1 through 7. I just can't do it. There's just no way that could happen. Actually, 1 through 10 is Michigan. After that, go to anywhere else you want. But
right.
And I think Iowa would be up there too.
Yeah, of course. For sure.
Yeah. 1 through 9 is Michigan and 10 is Iowa.
it's kind of funny that you mentioned you have, you know, throw up and burp all over your clothes. Is it better or worse than when you were in college? I mean, and it was actually your own puke and your own spit up.
Well, it's so funny because when you play football, it's a really gross game. You have two sweaty dudes hitting each other. You know, there's saliva, there's sweat, there's blood getting expelled in those hits or on people's hands, and they're grabbing your jerseys and it gets all over you. And to be honest, like, it is pretty gross. You know, that is gross. To me, it's not that gross because it's my daughter's, and maybe it's only because she's doing formula right now that it's not, you know, she's not eating anything that's going to, you know, turn her poop to be like really gross.
Yeah.
But it's just, we had a blowout the other day and got all over the changing table. It was on her elbows. And I'm like, how do I get on your elbows? And, you know, I had to bring we had to give her a bath. It was so bad. We had to bring her clothes into a shower and shower them off. Yes. And the whole time I'm like, I'm laughing. I think it's actually kind of funny. Like, she can't help herself. And listen, let's be real. I've had some close calls where, you know, like 2 seconds, if I didn't hit that toilet, 2 seconds later, it would have been the same exact, but I'm an adult. At least I could run to the bathroom, but you know, it's the amount of spit up and just gross stuff that gets on you. Like, she had conjunctivitis for one night and I'm using my finger to like get that stuff out. I wouldn't even touch conjunctivitis on my face, but right. I'm like, oh, I got to get that out of her face.
Yeah.
So like, it's that type of stuff. You like go to you're on a whole different level of like what you'll do as a human being.
Hey, it's until you do it, right? You don't know. Like I'm assuming before you had her, you're like, gosh, I don't know if I can do this. I don't know if I can do that. But when she's there, it's just very easy.
Yeah. And you want to do it.
Right.
Like I want to change the diaper. I want to make sure she's clean and happy. But you know, there's a lot, I don't want to wake up in the mornings. I don't want to wake up at night. What's great is we watch a lot of Mets games and she falls asleep, which is really cool. While daddy watches, but yeah, it's, you know, I'm excited like in 5 years to take it to her football game and come to campus and introduce her to people. It's just so exciting. Take her a quick trip.
Right. Yes. Bring her back to Wisconsin. Get her indoctrinated into the quick trip life.
Listen, she'll be at Wando's the second she has her vaccines and can go to, you know, 2 months to get, you get all like your baby vaccines. Yeah. She will be at Wando's. She'll be sitting in the Bernstein chair. She'll be watching daddy double fist Coors Lights there. It's going to be great.
Yes. That sounds like a ton of fun. I did want to talk a little football with you.
Let's do it.
I don't know if you've been seeing these things that Wisconsin's been doing. Like, they had, so before last season, you know, instead of, because they were going to have games last season, right? So they, like in August when everything got canceled, they turned to this dream season thing. And then obviously when the season came back, they had this dream season thing that they were doing, but now they actually added games to it. So they postponed it and they started doing it afterwards. I don't know if you've seen any of them, but one of them was the Michigan game in 2005, which I believe was your final game.
Yes, it was.
Yeah.
Sadly.
Have you seen any of these things?
I have not.
Okay. Well, you'll have to go look it up. They're all up on YouTube. You can watch them, and it's kind of like a, not an inside look, but it's essentially like a replay. And it has, instead of the announcer's voices, it has Matt LaPay's voice. And you know, they just do.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. No, it's pretty cool. So if you get a chance, but just that Michigan game and the way that it played out, I know you would have liked to have finished out your senior year, but could you have gone out on a better game than that one?
No, I don't think so. Unless we went to the Rose Bowl, but no, it was, you know, there's nothing like beating Michigan ever. because they always think they're going to win every game. So it was really special. You know, it's so funny. It's like, I love what happened to me. You know, like looking back on it, I hated being injured for those times. Sometimes I'm like, well, you should have just came back for the bowl game and just gone out like a, like an actual legend, like played and then just quit after that. But you know what? It's a great game to go out. It just, I feel bad because, you know, Calhoun will tell me every day, every time I see him, he brings up the same thing over and over again. I would have been a Heisman Trophy candidate. And you know what? He might have been. Like, he really might have been. I washed up and I got the football program to send me a ton of videos, not digital, not like VHS.
Yeah.
And I watched some of the, you know, the beginning of the 05 season, and the line was great. I mean, you know, he had Joe Thomas, and we were just like, from watching myself, I was like, man, I was crushing people and making look like, I think that was my most athletic year. I probably weighed like 2 pounds lighter, so I was faster. but I watched some of those games and I'm like, man, I was killing dudes. Maybe Calhoun's right. Maybe he would have been a Heisman Trophy, you know, candidate if I didn't get hurt.
Well, he put up a ton of yards, man. Like, he, I mean, his combined totals are just insane for that.
It's insane. Right.
He's as good of a receiving back as they've had. And that's saying something with some of the guys that have been there. I mean, James White was fantastic. Dario Ogunbowale was fantastic, but him catching the ball, or, you know, Terrell Fletcher, even going back that far, he was the best. He was the best dual, you know, runner and receiver I think they've had at running back.
Oh, by far. I mean, I think he would be number one on the hill, because he could catch. He was so shifty. He was so lightning fast. And he still, you know, like, was tough enough to run between the tackles. That was what was really impressive. Like, he loved doing that, you know, and once he hit the outside, he was gone.
I always wonder what kind of career he would have had he come here originally, as opposed to going to Colorado. And he was good at Colorado. But I just wonder what kind of career, especially, you know, you getting to play more than, you know, the 1 year that you did with him. Because he was 2004, he was on the scout team, and I assume he was just an absolute nightmare for the defense.
Oh, he had to be. He was a starter playing on, you know, it was like, I think Jake Sprague, like, played tight end because he was hurt 1 year.
Yeah.
And he was on, like, the scout team, like, just abusing the other guys.
Right.
And I was like, man, well, that's what, you know, being like a fifth-year senior looks like. But I think, you know, Cal, you know, who knows? If we could go down this rabbit hole, but, I, you know, maybe AD never gets hurt, and maybe it's a dual threat, you know, like, what they had, you had Melvin Gordon, James White, and who was the third guy?
Well, in 2013 or in 2012, it was Monte. I mean, they had Monte, James White, and Melvin in 2012. But in 2013, it was Corey Clement that added to that one.
I mean, imagine having AD. Then you had, then you have Calhoun and Booker, who, you know, Booker just did his job. I think he was pretty good. He was pretty good in a lot of games. Imagine if Dwayne Smith never got hurt. Then you got, like, those four guys could all play.
Yeah, but imagine if those guys get hurt, you don't actually get to carry the ball in 2004.
Yeah, but we might have went to the Big Ten championship.
Yeah, but then the Penn State game doesn't happen.
Yeah, but I'd give the Penn State game up to have a championship ring. Oh, my God, any day of the week.
Yeah, no, I know you would. I was just kidding. But no, those guys together, it would have been insane to have all those guys healthy and able to run, and especially considering how good your defense was in 04.
Right.
That, you know, to be able to have a fully healthy backfield the entire year and have, I mean, throw Calhoun at an offense, and I don't know if the late season issues pop up. Right. I mean, I
don't think so.
Right. And it's nothing against you. Right.
No, I wasn't. I had to be put in because there was nobody left.
Right.
I should not have started I was excited to do it, but I should not, you know, Booker should have started, you know, those guys, you know, AD, Booker, any tailback is way more athletic, way faster. You know, they can see gaps and holes much differently than I can. That's their skill set. But if you had Calhoun in that game And maybe, you know, maybe AD doesn't get hurt during the season because he was running the ball every single down. I mean, that dude was taking a beating.
Yeah.
And he was a tough guy, but after a while, you get beat down. And we probably ran the ball, what, 40 times, and he touched it 35 of them?
He was a workhorse. He was a workhorse. Kind of had to be. Just because, you know, with John Stocko, it was still like his first year as a starter. He did have some weapons, but I think he was still kind of working his way in as a quarterback. He didn't really hit his stride until probably, the middle of 05. Maybe the Minnesota game 05 is maybe when he hit his stride and was pretty good the rest of the way. But yeah, we could always go down those rabbit holes, but you mentioned seeing Brian Calhoun. Whenever you see him, he brings stuff up. Does that happen with all these guys? Like when you're back in Madison and you see a guy, does it automatically go back to talking about football, or is it what's going on in life? What are you doing? That type of stuff.
Nah, it's a lot of like what you're doing now, you know, how's life, how's the family, but it always reverts back to like some funny story that you two share. That's, you know, like Jeff Mack, I always tell Jeff, it always comes up. I'm like, Jeff, dude, you indoctrinated me into the KK like lifestyle. Because I remember we went, you know, in 2001, we were terrible. I think we went 5-7. We didn't even go to a bowl game. And we won a game and we were in the KK and these dudes were dancing on the tables. And I don't think Jeff will probably not remember this only because he just won't. He'll say it's probably not him. But we were dancing, you know, I wasn't dancing on a table. I was a little nervous they were going to break. He was dancing on a table and they, you know, the KK turns the lights on, shut the music off. And they're like, hey guys, you get off the tables. And I just remember it was either Jeff or somebody else. And they're like, put the music back on. And boom, lights off, music back on. No one said a word the whole time. Like, you know, Wendell Bryant, they just gave him a tray of shots. And I was like, man, this is college football. Like, this is great.
Yeah.
Like, you know, no one had a cell phone. No one had, they had a cell phone. It didn't work. No one was taking pictures. Like, you could really just go and have a good time. And it was not going to be documented. But, like, those funny stories pop up. You know, like, every random, you know, I went golfing the other day. And I was just thinking about this golf outing we went to. Actually, the Great Moose outing. And, you know, like, I just remember, you know, Donovan Raiola grabbed a tray of wings from the Hooters sponsored these wings. And he just grabbed it out of like the hot, you know, like with those things that heat up on the bottom.
Yep.
He just grabbed the whole thing and took off with it. And I was like, dude, that's ridiculous. But you know, like there's just stories that pop up and you talk about football, you talk about the team now. And I don't know. It just, you know, it's almost like you don't have to see these guys to just remember how much of a friendship you created, you know, during 4 or 5 years in Madison.
Yeah, for sure. I'm sure Jeff would love not to have that story.
Jeff was like 21.
Right. Involve him at this point as he's on the search committee for the new athletic director.
Listen, Jeff is like one of the coolest, one of the smartest guys that I know. And I'm like, you know, you talk about who you're lucky to, like, I'm lucky to have like such a close friendship with him. Like he's such a, every time I come back to Madison, I'm like, Jeff, I know we're probably not going to be able to meet because he's so busy, but hey, if you want to, I'm around.
Right. Yeah, for sure.
So I just love that guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What did want to ask about Barry is he's going to be stepping down at the end of the month as athletic director, and they're in the process of looking for a new one. When you originally heard that he was retiring, what was the first thought or moment or something that came into your mind?
Man, it's funny. I've been asked this a bunch. And when I really like dig down, you know, Barry, not on like actually did these things, but because of him, I am where I am today. And it's like, I didn't realize that until people started asking me that question of like, what does Barry mean to you? And if I go back, like he took a chance to take me to Wisconsin, you know, talk about the Penn State game would have never happened, you know, having such a good time, getting a college degree that I think would have happened, but not a Wisconsin degree, you know, having so much success, meeting so many people, meeting you, you know, I met my wife, you know, I have longtime friends from Wisconsin who I'm obsessed with, you know, I think like none of that happens without, you know, I don't think I have my job without him. So, you know, like what did Barry do for me? I have to say like almost everything, you know, like it's just such, it brings back a lot of great memories. Like, you know, the guy was a great coach. You know, I was part of something really special, you know, like he was there, what, 30 years as a coach almost?
Well, and he obviously, his first year as head coach was 1990. And his last year was 05 as the coach. Yeah. So, but obviously has been here now for 30 plus years. It's insane.
It's insane. You know, like I'll tell you what, when I got cut from the Lions, I drove back to Madison and I went to see Coach Alvarez and he's like, Bernie, come sit down. He's like, what can I do for you? I'm like, you know, coach, you have a lot of connections. If at any point somebody needs a fullback and you hear of that, like, please let me, you know, let me know or let them know that I'm out there. And he called Darren Bevel right away. And he's like, hey, I got Matt Bernstein sitting here. He's looking for, you know, something. You know, at that point, Minnesota didn't need, I think he was at Minnesota. They didn't need a fullback. But like, right. That's what that guy would do for you is like call his friend immediately. And so, he's so special. Like, there's just, you know, my dad, my brother would have never gone there. My whole family wouldn't have been these huge Badger fans. There's nothing without Barry. That's what's so scary to think about. And it's so great that I have that. And, you know, listen, if you love him or you don't love him, like, he still is that way for a lot of individuals.
Yeah. No, I mean, look. Whether you like him or not, you can't deny what he did for Wisconsin football and what it is today is largely, if not, I mean, he has had a bigger role in what Wisconsin football today is than anybody else. It's not even, and I don't think it's particularly close. I mean, you can obviously point to Pat Richter for him hiring him, but what Barry did and the people that he brought in and the people that grew up under him, including yourself, you know, has made what happens on a Saturday at Camp Randall Stadium possible.
Oh, well, and then if you want to talk about like what he did for the actual program, the university, I mean, I don't think the university is where it is today without him.
Well, the athletic department's not. The athletic department certainly is not. The money that what came in as a result of football success helped everybody else.
Yeah, but you have kids who want to come to from out of state who want to go to Wisconsin because of the athletics that are there. Social is one thing. Academics is one thing, but Barry put Wisconsin on the map for a lot of, you know, out of state kids at least. So I think that's huge. And then, you know, like if you're a professor, Wisconsin's a big name now. And I think Barry had a lot to do with that. When you have a terrible football team, like no one talks about you that much. Now everyone talks about Wisconsin.
Yeah, it's about having the front porch of the university is your athletic department. And, to get people to come in, it's got to look nice. And right now it looks really nice. I did want to get into a little bit of football. I mean, well, we got a few months here before the season starts, but is there a particular game or moment that you're excited for this fall? I mean, just not being able to go to any games last year was probably sucked. For you,
yeah.
but is just the ability to get back in the stadium is something you're looking forward to?
Yeah. I mean, I'm just so thrilled, you know, the guys played in front of a pretty much nobody. I think that must be so hard.
It's like a scrimmage every day. It's like a scrimmage.
Yeah. It's like a scrimmage, you know, like one part, I mean, something I've absolutely loved is when you run into that stadium, you know, there's 80 plus thousand people going nuts for your team. Like that is so cool. And it gets you so excited to be playing football over the course of the whole entire game. And now you're looking up and there's not one person there. So I think you're going to see a whole different team. People will be excited. I'm excited. I don't know why. I mean, I just saw today they came out. Penn State's at 11 a.m. Yeah. I don't understand why they do that to us. I mean, that's a big game.
Yeah, no. Well, I mean, it's Fox, and it's the big noon Fox. Like they've put their marquee game now at 11 a.m. Because it gets good ratings across the country. That's what it's about. It's not about the people in the stadium anymore, and I guess it hasn't been that way for a while. But it's the same thing with the Notre Dame game. Like you're you're putting that up at 11 a.m. It sucks. Like nobody. I mean, I shouldn't say nobody. I think there's probably media folks that are just fine with it, including myself. But like in terms of just the atmosphere around it. you'd much prefer it to be a 2:30 game or a 7 o'clock game. Like the game at Lambeau last year was supposed to be a night game. That would have been amazing. This one probably, it would have been better if it could have been at night. It's not. So, you know, you deal with it, but yeah, 2 11 o'clock kickoffs, and you know, Iowa homecoming is also going to be at 11 o'clock kickoff. It's not great, but I think people are going to be jacked to be back in the stadium, that at least for the opener, it may not matter.
Yeah. I mean, you're right. It's, you know, playing Penn State as an opener to me is so cool. I'm thrilled. I can't wait. I'll be back. I'll be at Notre Dame. I'll be at Michigan, and I'm coming up. I'm so excited for Army. We've never played them. I just think that's really cool that we have like that. It's going to be cool to watch like a ridiculous offense in college, but it's so cool. Like the history of Army, and now they're coming to play. It hasn't never happened. We'll be, and it's not a huge game for us. You know, like, I mean, in the grand schemes of playing Iowa and Michigan and, you know, all these teams. But I'm excited, man. This is what I wanted to see when you – if we want to be thought of to go to the playoffs, you have to play a Notre Dame. You know, we have to play Michigan's. We have to play Iowa's. We need some help. We need, you know, I think Indiana will be better, but we don't seem to play them. We need some help for some of these teams, but I always want to see an out of – conference games that are much better than what we kind of, you know, Eastern Michigan, it's a tune-up game, but I want to see, you know, we have Alabama coming up in a few years. I want to see those games.
Yeah. And that's what the scheduling is about. I mean, they've got a lot of, they've got at least one Power Five non-conference game every year, I think, for the next 12. So we will get to see that. The Notre Dame game is being rescheduled. I think Barry said it's going to be in 2022. The game at Lambeau, is being rescheduled potentially. Going to be in 2022, and so that'll be good. It's a good. The schedule is what makes a difference, and that's why. Like, it would have been horrible if this had happened. Like, you not be able to be in the stadium for this schedule this year. Like, this is as good of a home schedule as they've had. And then you throw in Notre Dame. It's going to be a fun year, I think.
It's going to be fun, and I think the team's going to be great. A lot of guys came back, which says a ton about the program. To me, I think it's crazy being like now a dad. It's crazy to say that, but I would say go get your money in the NFL. But a lot, you know, like with respect, these guys are coming back to play for Wisconsin. And, you know, like I feel like they're playing for me. It's just so exciting. And I really think with the experience that a lot of guys got last year, I just think you'll see a whole different brand of football coming up. And I think, you know, talking about, I'm hoping Graham Mertz, you know, he played a lot of football, and to me, he showed what he could do in the first game and then struggled most of the time after that. But you know what? He's struggling. And I think he understands kind of what needs to be done, and all that experience can only help.
I would completely agree. And the fact that he, you know, was missing a bunch of his weapons, you know, and now he gets them all back with Danny Davis and Kendrick Pryor and Jake Ferguson and some of the other young wide receivers. You get Jalen Berger, a potential addition in a transfer from Clemson that is going to be coming to the campus here pretty soon. And then obviously the biggest weapon, John Chennault at fullback,
obviously,
you know, having another one. What do you think about him? What do you like about, I couldn't let you out of here without asking about him.
I'll tell you, I feel like the fullbacks are like, they're just molds every year of like tough, strong guys who are smart. They know what they're doing, and they play with like a little bit of like a screw loose where, you know, like they're ready to like run through a wall and, you know, potentially hurt somebody within the rules of the game.
Of course.
And, you know, I see that in him, and I just love. You know, it's funny. I follow Gary Brown on Twitter, and what this dude puts out, the coach, is so funny to me. Like I like retweeted, and I have to like go, you know, it's just ridiculous. I was reading something the other day, and he's like, this is the dean. Oh, maybe it was another fullback that we kind of have to put up there, Amici.
Yeah,
I mean, he played a different position. You know, it was a different position. But what did they call? They put him at like the dean of running backs or something, like, or the dean of RBU, and I'm hysterically laughing.
Yeah, like, he is prolific as a tweeter right now.
He really is. He really is. It's so fun. Like his stuff is really just comical. I'm waiting for one of me. You know, Gary, what's going on, Coach? You got Calhoun up here. You know, I should tweet him the picture of the fullback monument.
Yeah,
but
for sure.
You know, I love what he's putting out. You know, like this is the type of excitement that I want to see from the running back coach. Like, you know, I love the guy before him too, but this guy is exciting to read Twitter. Imagine what he's going to do with Jalen Berger, who is to me going to be awesome.
He is going to be very good. We'll see if they can get over that 15 carry mark for him. I'm kidding, of course, but he's got big time potential. And again, I just think they need somebody else to step in and be like a two. And right now they're searching for that guy. They got four guys coming in this fall now at running back, including a couple guys that are huge. They got a 240 pound tailback named Braylon Allen, who is he was an all-state defender. I think he's actually the defensive player of the year in Wisconsin, but he also tore it up on offense. He's going to start there at running back. And they got some athletes coming in, but they just don't have anybody proven back there.
Right. That dude, Braylon Allen, some of his hits in high school just seems like I would be nervous to have my kid out there with him.
Right.
I mean, what's funny is I did that to people in high school, but now I'm old. And if he hit me, I would just poof, be gone. But what I love, like, they're getting guys like that. Right. And that is, you know, that guy could be the number two. I actually really like Groshek, and I thought he would stick around. And yeah, I was like, man, we're going to be solid if Groshek, but why would Groshek stick around? His stock is as high as it'll ever be. He's going to come back and be the number two again next year. Yeah, I was just, you know, selfishly wanted him to come back. But you got these guys who are going to compete to play. And with this coach, you know, I think they're going to be ready.
Yeah, I would completely agree. It's going to be interesting. The entire year is, I mean, just getting those guys back, just getting the weapons back is going to be interesting for the offense. I think the defense is going to be just as good as it was last year. And, you know, if they can put it together offensively, they'll have a chance at not just winning the Big Ten West, but potentially challenging Ohio State in the Big Ten title game. They've done it the last two times they played in the Big Ten title game. They've been right there. They just couldn't close the door, and we'll see if they can do it this year. Hey, Bernie, I love catching up. This is awesome. I kept you probably a little bit longer than you probably were expecting. So I will let you go, and congratulations again on the new baby. And
thank you.
Yes. Really appreciate you jumping on.
Oh man. Listen, I'll come on whenever you want. Tell the guys I say hi. I'm sure I'm due up. My office is now still the nursery because she doesn't sleep here, but I'm sure I'm due on a diaper duty. And guess what? I am excited to do it right now.
All right. There he is. There he is. Matt Bernstein, former Wisconsin fullback. And we do welcome in John McNamara from BadgerBlitz.com. John, appreciate your time. Things about to get very busy for you as the regular recruiting calendar gets back into play here June 1st. Before we get into the class of 2022, I wanted to clean up something in the class of 2021. Throughout this entire process of 2021, and I guess considering he was part of class of 2022, that as well, but Braylon Allen, throughout this entire thing, we all thought safety, linebacker, he was the state player of the year on defense this year, but he told you that when he gets to Madison, he's going to be playing running back, or at least get to start his time at running back with the Badgers. What kind of running back is Wisconsin getting?
Yeah, that's, they're getting a very intriguing player. And, you know, even going back a couple weeks ago, you know, we got word that, you know, running back was at least something Wisconsin coaching staff was considering. And then, you know, you, Zach, you covered the spring practices when Wisconsin was basically down to two fullbacks and a walk-on who wasn't even on the spring roster at the position. I think the coaching staff basically said, we don't want to be in this position again. So Allen's going to get a shot at running back. He confirmed that with me yesterday. I think he's a guy where you look and say, hey, where can he see the field the quickest? Obviously he's outgrown safety. Then you look at inside linebacker, where I think he could be just as effective, you know, as he is as a running back. You know, you have two guys in Leo Chenal and Sanborn there, who you expect to start and expect to eat up a lot of reps like they did last year. So, you know, maybe he's a guy then at running back who can play right away. You know, 6'2", about 235 pounds. I got a chance to see him in person during the spring season. You know, footwork wise, he moves extremely well. I think at that size, you think, you know, is he fast enough or is he quick enough to play at the Big Ten level and be effective? And I certainly think you have to trust Gary Brown there and his evaluation based on what he saw at film. But then at the same time, he's not locked into running back. If it's just not the right fit during fall camp, you know, they can put him back on the defensive side of the ball. But I'm really excited to see what he can do at that running back position. He gave you a little taste at the high school level this spring. It's going to be something to watch in the fall if he can contribute and potentially get in the mix there in the rotation at tailback.
So technically they have four running backs in this class now. I guess if you throw Allen in there, even, you know, we'll see what happens there. But the other three, are they locked into that spot too, or has that not been decided yet?
You know, from my understanding, all four of them will get the first crack there at tailback. You know, Jackson Akers, a guy who you think, yeah, maybe he's a tailback, maybe he grows into a fullback. Loyal Crawford, maybe a guy who could play defensive back if he needed him to. From those four, I think Antoine Roberts is probably the most true tailback of the group, a guy that I think probably sticks there or has the best shot of sticking there. So there's a lot of guys there, I guess, that kind of have that position flexibility. But again, yeah, they're going to try all four out because, like I said, I just don't think they want to be in a situation like they were this spring where they didn't have enough bodies to sometimes, you know, go through an entire practice effectively.
And then there's another guy, there's another name, obviously, at that spot that he could be adding, and that is Ches Malusi out of Clemson, who's in the transfer portal. And the last I heard, he was planning to visit Wisconsin early in June. Is that still the plan?
Yeah, the plan's June 1st. And it, from the people I've spoke to, it should be the final piece to his recruitment or transfer, whatever way you want to look at it. You know, gets to see Madison in person. And then I think that a commitment comes, you know, while he's on campus. If not, you know, it's been in the works before. So yeah, he's going to come up June 1st to see the campus. I would imagine then that it'll be official that he's going to head to Wisconsin then this summer right away to transfer there and be part of the fall camp roster and, you know, really competing right away for time. You know, everyone kind of hurt this spring. You expect Jalen Berger to maybe be atop the depth chart, but Malusi then potentially provides some depth behind them because he's had injuries to Garendo, Julius Davis, Brady Shipper there. So I think he's an important part there. And then you talked about the four incoming tailbacks there. So I think they'll have bodies. It'll be interesting to see how things shake out in the fall.
No doubt. The month of June, though, is going to be insane, I would say, probably recruiting-wise, not just for Wisconsin, but for teams across the country as the recruiting calendar gets back to normal after a year and change of not being anywhere close to it. And that means a lot of guys going to be on campus for the first time. You know, some guys, at least like earlier in their career, will be able to come in, go to games, unofficial visits, that type of thing. That hasn't been able to be the case for the most part. I mean, some guys have been able to take – is that true, unofficial visits? Have there been unofficial guys that be able to come on campus, or has that not happened?
Not since March of 2020. So it's been 15 months since these guys have been able to take, you know, that traditional on-campus visit. And if you look at that guest list right away, you know, Nick Singleton is a guy, you know, the four-star running back that they're bringing in. He was one of the last group of guys to visit unofficially. So, you know, it seems like it was just a short time ago, but really these guys have not been able to take a traditional visit on these campuses since, you know, 15 months ago. You know, a lot of guys you have seen have just visited the campus on their own, you know, with their parents on their own dime, okay, not being able to communicate with the coaching staff. So they've, you know, some guys have done that on their own, but, you know, you're going to see in June getting these guys on campus for official visits and then some unofficial visits as well, so they can kind of get back in the swing of taking those traditional on-campus visits again to schools all across the country.
So that list, you mentioned Nick Singleton, but that list, especially that first weekend, this coming weekend, I should say, June 4th, that weekend, I think Joe Brunner, Billy Shrouth, Isaac Ham, Singleton, who else? Carson Hinsman. I think all those guys are potentially going to be taking their official visits this weekend.
They are, yeah. From that you know, in-state group, they all expect them to be on campus that first weekend. So, you know, it's going to be an important weekend for Wisconsin, not only for the in-state guys that you mentioned, but Singleton's going to be there. Austin Brown, the safety from Illinois. Caleb Coley, cornerback from Georgia. Corey Lide, New Jersey. Felix Hickson, Curtis Neal. So it's a big-time visitor list for Wisconsin. And I think the big question comes up is, do you expect any of these guys to commit while on campus? That kind of came up in one of our mailbags. I don't think you see any of these kids commit because they want to take these visits. You know, you talk to guys like Hinsman, Brunner's been kind of quiet, but you know, these big time guys who have held these offers for a long time, they want to get out and see these schools. So I don't think you see any commitments, you know, during that first weekend for Wisconsin or really maybe any school across the country, just because these guys, they have these visits scheduled, you know, four or five of their officials in June. They want to get out and see these schools. But at the same time, I think you could see quick commitments coming after they take their visits. So it might take a little bit in June. But, you know, once they see three, four, five campuses, maybe, I think you're going to see some real quick decisions from a lot of these guys.
Is it a good thing to get that first visit, or would you rather be bad in cleanup?
That's a really good question. And I think traditionally, you do want a bad cleanup. You've seen it in years past where, you know, the team that gets that last visit kind of has that last lasting impression when they hop on the plane and go back home and sort things out. So, but for a situation like this, look, you want to be maybe the first school that they have seen, some really the first recruiting visit that they've taken. I mean, you talk to about a guy like Miles Burkett, you know, he's never really taken a traditional recruiting visit. Obviously he's committed and he's set to play with Wisconsin, sign with Wisconsin. But, you know, a guy like Isaac Hamm, even though he lives just outside of Madison in Sun Prairie, he's never taken that traditional recruiting visit to Wisconsin. So I think that this staff approached it like, look, let's get all the top guys that we can on our board right away into Madison as quickly as we can to see what we can do with them right away.
So you mentioned, we've talked about the in-state kids and Joe Brunner and Billy Shrouth and Isaac Hamm and Carson Hinsman. Of those guys, rank them for me in terms of which one you're feeling good about for Wisconsin to the potentially, you know, a guy that's going to go elsewhere.
Yeah, I guess I'll start with a guy who probably goes elsewhere. Billy Shrouth, the four-star lineman from Fond du Lac. He plays for St. Mary Springs. Notre Dame has really carried the momentum with him, really going back to this winter into the spring. I had a chance to go see him live this spring and talk to him, and he's going to take an official to Wisconsin. He has one lined up to Notre Dame as well. I think he's going to try to get out to see Ohio State. I think that's been scheduled too, but if things kind of continue to move the same direction as a lot of people expect, myself included, I think he ends up committing to Notre Dame. But again, you know, it'll be a big opportunity for Wisconsin to get him on campus to preach the in-state stuff, which they have been doing, and to see if they can, you know, potentially, I don't want to say get back in the race there, because obviously they're in the thick of things. But again, I think they would have to catch up to Notre Dame and his recruitment. Of the guys you mentioned, I think Hinsman, in my opinion, is probably the most likely to commit to Wisconsin. He's looking at some other schools. Ohio State is going to take an official to Iowa. Alabama's there, still on the table. He hasn't scheduled one there just yet. I think he's maybe the most likely of that first group of in-state guys to commit. Again, I don't expect that to happen while he's on campus or during that first weekend. And then Joe Brunner, he's a guy that he's kind of been a mystery. You know, he's kind of shut things down in terms of communicating with the media, only kind of gets you stuff here and there. In the end, I do think Wisconsin gets him. But again, I think that's just a guess at this point. He's going to go out and see some schools. I expect him to take all five officials before he's ready to decide. It wouldn't shock me if he wanted to see some schools in the fall to get that game day experience. And there's Isaac Hamm, who I would put probably right up there with Hinsman. Maybe the next domino to fall in this class. He has a top four. I don't know how many officials he'll end up taking from that group. But if there's a candidate for maybe number two in this class, it might be Isaac Hamm from Sun Prairie.
So those are the in-state guys that are going to be coming on that this coming weekend. And then there's another big weekend a couple weeks after that. And it includes KJ Miles, the defensive lineman out of New Jersey. And then also Barrett Nelson, who has an offer from Wisconsin, and his brother, Jack Nelson, already lined up to potentially start for Wisconsin, the offensive line. Anything else of those guys? Those guys obviously stick out. Anything else stick out in terms of some of these official visits that are coming up that people should know about?
Yeah, Miles Jr. is certainly got to keep an eye on. I think yesterday or the day prior, he trimmed his list from 7 to 3. So he's looking at Wisconsin, Georgia Tech, and Texas. I put a future cast in for him recently. So, you know, to get a big 4-star defensive tackle in this class is pretty important because they didn't take a defensive tackle in the previous cycle. I keep an eye on him as someone potentially who could commit in the month of June after he looks at those 3 schools. You know, Barrett Nelson, you know, the family connection there. You talked about Jack Nelson already on the roster. His dad played for the Badgers as well. I'd be surprised if he wasn't part of this class at some point, though he does want to see some other schools. Miles Burkett's going to be up there, the guy who's committed. Also, Quintel Jones, another big defensive tackle that Wisconsin's been on. Tommy McIntosh, wide receiver, potentially grows into a tight end. I think he's looking strongly at Wisconsin and Iowa. I think he'll end up at one of those 2 schools. And then Avon Jones, the kid who was committed to Oklahoma State, recently backed off that. He'll be on campus that same weekend as well. 3-star cornerback from Texas. So I think June 4th is you know, of the weekend dates that they have that month is the biggest date. But Wisconsin's going to have a chance to do some damage on that weekend of June 18th as well. And then even if you want to flip to the other side in basketball, you know, Roman Brumbaugh, the point guard that they're on, is going to be on campus, as well as Braden Moore, a 3-star, you know, small forward, power forward, will be on campus the same weekend as well. So big weekend for Paul Christ, big weekend for Greg Gard as well.
Wanted to ask you about the tight end spot. I assume because of the uncertainty with the scholarship situation in terms of, you know, whether the NCAA is going to provide a waiver to go over the scholarship limit past this year. Did that play a role in some of the stuff that's happening at tight end? Is it going to be a smaller class in 2022 than originally predicted? Because wasn't Mike O'Reilly Ducker a guy that Wisconsin was hard after and now not so much?
They were. And, you know, he was for a long time the top target on Wisconsin's recruiting board. And something changed there. And I was surprised when I heard the news that, you know, he knocked Wisconsin out and put Illinois in. You know, we were hearing some rumblings of that in the day prior. And then he went out and said, look, Wisconsin, you know, some things have changed there. I don't necessarily think it's scholarship wise. I think Wisconsin has a pretty good idea of what they want to do in this 2022 class in terms of scholarships. It's going to be small. You know, when we've done some projections on our site, you know, they could be as low as 14. I don't, you know, when all said is and done and you see some attrition on the current roster, I think it grows. So you're looking at, I don't know, 15, 16, 17 spots. And in traditional recruiting class, you're up in 20, 21 or 22 guys. So I think just at the surface, it's going to be a smaller class. But in terms of exactly what happened with Riley Ducker, I'm not really sure, to be real honest with you. I think the natural thought was that, okay, Wisconsin's going to go after Andrew Keller, the tight end from Wanakee, and he hasn't picked up an offer yet. So it'll be really interesting to see if we get some clarity on that in the month of June. Keller told me he's not going to camp with the Badgers, and he hasn't had a whole lot of communication with them in comparison to some of the other schools across the country that he's picked up offers from. So what they do that at that position is going to be pretty interesting. They've done a good job recruiting in the last 2-3 cycles there. So, you know, it's no longer a position of need necessarily, but you know, they've had some pretty good options in Riley Ducker. They've moved on, it seems. And then Andrew Keller's in their backyard too. And it'll be interesting to see if they pull a trigger on an offer with him.
Anything else we should be watching for here in the month of June?
Well, if you go back to that last weekend in June, Vinny Anthony is a wide receiver from Kentucky who they'll have on campus. Also, James Mons the third, a cornerback from Florida, they'll have on campus there. So I think right now the number is at 16 with official visitors. There's still some other guys that they're working on to try to get on campus. But, you know, if you look at the group that we've talked about, you know, those are their big time targets in this class. And I think, you know, we talked about this before. Wisconsin fans are eager for that next commitment. You know, they've been sitting on one for a while. It's been Burkett. I think Wisconsin, I mean, to be real honest with you, they can go from one commit to 6 or 7 or 8 by the time July 1st rolls around. So June's going to be a really busy month on the recruiting front. And it's going to be it's going to be really interesting to track where these guys end up and where they end up committing to.
I'll let you out on this one is just in terms of 2023, some names that we should be paying attention to.
Yeah. So if you look at Wisconsin's camp that that's coming up, I believe on the 3rd and the 7th, they are bringing in some really intriguing quarterbacks on campus. Two big four-star kids. You can find out who those guys are on our message board. Chase Spellman's a kid from inside the state, from Kettle Moraine, a sophomore from there who will camp there as well. So he'll get to see how he stacks up with two of the better quarterbacks in the country. So, you know, I think a storyline to track, you know, in June and then moving forward is Bobby Dunn, who is taking over kind of the role John Budmeyer had when he was at that stage, not quite assistant coach yet, but handling the bulk of the quarterback recruiting work. So it seems like the guys I've talked to in that 2023 class at quarterback, you know, Dunn has been their primary recruiting contact. And with the guys that he's going to bring in on that weekend of June 3rd, he's certainly done a very good job. And I think he's putting Wisconsin in a really good position to have, you know, big time talent to potentially start that 2023 class at quarterback.
All right, John. Hey, certainly appreciate your time as always. Love catching up and try and stay rested for the next month. All right.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm banking some sleep hours, you know, days of May here because I'll have to exercise those in June, I anticipate.
Yeah, for sure. All right, man. Thank you very much.
All right, Zach. We'll see you.
All right. There he is, John McNamara from BadgerBlitz.com. And we do welcome in a special guest here on the camp. It is 2022 commit, Miles Burkett. Miles, how's it going?
It's going great. How about you?
Fantastic. I appreciate you joining me. You're a quarterback, obviously, three-star quarterback from Franklin and the first commit in the class of 2022 for the Badgers. When you're going to be coming on your official visit coming up here in the middle of June, but I wanted to get back into kind of where things started for you because it's been a journey to your commitment in January. Obviously, you know, the 2022 class in the state of Wisconsin is really, really good. The focus was on those six guys. I think everyone listening to this podcast knows those six guys. And originally you weren't a part of that. I feel like that may have driven you a little bit. And, you know, as your sophomore, you played pretty well, didn't have any scholarships going into your junior year. They started coming a little bit, but your entire process getting to where you are now, what was the biggest driver for you? Was it a little bit of a chip on your shoulder?
Yeah, I'd say that my chip on my shoulder kind of grew. And it's still growing, to be honest. You know, that's the one thing that always drove me was, you know, trying to get to where these guys around the country were. And I felt like I was as good as these guys. And I put in the work just as much as these guys, maybe even more. So the strip on my shoulder just kept growing and kept growing. And I kept getting slighted by more and more people. And, you know, the goal really wasn't to get the scholarships, it was to be the best player I could be for my team and my teammates. So. As the scholarships came, those opportunities are a blessing. And, you know, obviously me being committed to Wisconsin now, it's all great, but I still got one season left to go and the chip on my shoulder is still there. So the business isn't done, but I'm just really looking forward to the future.
Going back to your sophomore year, you tore your MCL late in that season, correct?
Yeah.
And then you had to rehab right around the same time that COVID is breaking out, right? And then, yep. you go through that entire process, you're expecting to be able to go out on these camps and show people, you know, what you were able to do, what this is before the scholarships were able to come in this past fall. That was going to be an opportunity for you to, you know, kind of show people that you do belong. How much did you miss out not being able to do that?
I missed out on a lot. I got cleared from my surgery and my injury around late February, early March. So we're looking at, I'm trying to get into the deep of things right as the pandemic starts. And, you know, it's a huge blow when I worked really hard to be cleared probably two months ahead of what I was supposed to be just for, you know, those opportunities to be taken away. So it was definitely a huge blow. And with this whole pandemic going on, I definitely had moments of self-doubt, obviously having no scholarships at the time and not really knowing what the future was going to hold with no camps and not being able to see coaches or coaches being able to see me. So it was definitely trying times for me. And it definitely made me realize what type of person I am, what type of player I am. And I'm really glad, honestly, for the whole pandemic and the injury to really show me things and show me my direction.
how did you get through that? Did you, were you able to lean on some people to get through that and, you know, and pushing yourself through that? Or was it mostly just, you know, putting your head down and going?
Definitely my parents, my mom, and my dad, they really drove me. They really told me I could do it. And, you know, having your family to be there and just to know and kind of give you that confidence that you don't really have sometimes, and to really just make sure you keep going and, you know, get your schoolwork done, you know, get to that workout, because, you know, these opportunities are coming. I really relied heavily on them to really show me my direction, because your parents are there no matter what. So before the scholarships came, they definitely believed in me and they made me believe in myself. So my parents had a huge role in this offseason and the pandemic itself.
When your dad was your coach growing up, correct?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, he had that, he had your back there, but you guys also grew up, I'm assuming, as Badger fans. So yourself, you grew up as a Badger fan. What's your first Badger moment that you remember growing up? And then you can tell me, and you're going to date me and tell me how old I am with your memory here.
So I remember I went to a game, and I think it was the game against Nebraska in 2000, and I think it was 14 or 15. And it wasn't my first game, but it was like my first game, like under the lights at Camp Randall. And I went with my brother, and my brother's huge Badger fan, probably more of a Badger fan than me. So I know he's stoked to get on this official visit with me, but yeah, just experiencing the night games at Camp Randall, which they don't come too often, because I know Coach Chris, he's not really a big fan of night games, but just experiencing those night games at Camp Randall as a kid. And that's when I kind of started really seeing my future in football. I really wanted to have a future in football. So experiencing that, especially with my brother, that was something that I'll never forget. So I'm just really glad that sooner rather than later, I'll be on the field, and maybe some kid can come see and have that same experience.
Well, and that's awesome, because it's rare that a Wisconsin kid at your position gets actually to play at UW. Do you feel a little bit, does it make it even more special with that in mind? I mean, obviously Joel Stabe ended up getting a scholarship, but he wasn't a scholarship kid originally.
Mm-hmm. It's definitely it's a blessing. It's a lot of pressure as well. Them taking an in-state kid instead of, you know, some of these maybe highly touted guys around the country, it's gonna be more pressure on me to perform and show that I'm really just as good as, if not better than these guys. So, you know, from Wisconsin kid perspective, it's a blessing of a lifetime and it's a dream come true. But at the end of the day, I still got to go on the field and show results. So it's a blessing and a curse, but I'm going to choose the blessing, because for me, it's definitely gonna change my life.
And there were some, and we kind of talked about it before, that doubted you. I was reading a story with from my co-host, Jesse Temple, who obviously isn't on right now, but he with The Athletic, and he told a story about you going to Iowa. And one of the offensive line coach, who I don't believe is there anymore, said said that he didn't think you had the size or the arm to play in the Big Ten. Yep. And I'm assuming that is part of the chip, but I feel like the size goes back to a guy who played at Wisconsin and Russell Wilson. I know he's a big guy that you look up to, even though, you know, size wise, he's not the biggest guy.
Mm-hmm. My whole life, I've never been the biggest kid. You know, I've been the fastest or maybe the strongest, but I've never been the tallest or the biggest. So it's nothing that I haven't experienced before. And going into the Big Ten, you look at these guys, 6'3", 6'4", 6'5", 225, 230, big arms, can throw the ball down the field, 70, 80 yards. But then you look at guys like Russell Wilson, Drew Brees, Kyler Murray, the guys who are changing the game. And those are guys I look up to. And they're kind of setting the tone that, you know, shorter quarterbacks are able to do more things, honestly, than taller quarterbacks. You know, we're not going to be able to heave the ball down the field 80 yards or stand over a 6'7" O-line or stuff like that. But we find windows in the passing lanes, and we can make plays with our feet that our taller quarterback counterparts cannot make. So learning how to adjust to being my height is definitely something that I've worked over time, but it's not going to be something that's going to define me as a quarterback.
Well, it's not like you're short, you know what I mean? Like it's
yeah,
it's not like you're 5'10" or five. You're about 6'1", right?
Yeah. 6'1".
6'1". So it's not like you're short by any stretch. And I know that quarterbacks, your size sometimes get listed as dual threats. I know there was a website, I think rivals.com had you listed as a dual threat quarterback. I understand you're not a huge fan of that label. Instead, you like to refer to yourself as a true threat. What does that mean?
I feel a dual threat is a tag put on quarterbacks that can be like, okay, well, maybe he can play receiver, or he can return kicks, or we'll convert him to a safety, or maybe something like that. Borderline athletes. So I really don't like the dual threat tag because it doesn't really give me the credit that is due for being the quarterback. You know, there's a lot of things that come with being a quarterback and not just being athletic. So to me, a true threat is really a guy who can make any play. He can stand back in the pocket, and he can also make plays with his feet. And that's something that I've been able to do over my time in high school and honestly my time as playing quarterback since, what, fourth grade. So I feel like the pocket passer is put on the guys who maybe aren't as fast or as athletic and maybe slow feet or bigger guys, and the dual threat is the borderline athlete. So I think I find myself in the middle of that realm. So a true threat is really what describes myself as a quarterback.
How would you define your greatest strengths and also, you know, your greatest weaknesses at this point?
I'd say my greatest strength is making plays. I feel that's definitely something I've been able to do in high school is being a playmaker. The teams with great success are the guys or the teams with quarterbacks who can extend plays and make plays when it's not there. And that's the type of plays that win games. And that's something that I've really worked on and something that I've been able to do in my high school career. Then I'd say my weakness probably right now is coming off of injury is probably gaining my trust in my knee is probably my biggest weakness right now. And I wouldn't say it's a huge weakness, but it's something that comes over time mentally when you get injured is, you know, trusting yourself again. So I know as a junior, I kind of became more of a pocket passer because trusting my knee and trusting myself comes over time when in rehab. So I say those are my two strengths and weaknesses right now.
I noticed you retweeted a post about your winter workouts and the winter transformation that you've made. You're down 12 pounds. I understand that you are getting some of that explosiveness back, and I assume that's part mm-hmm. of the recovery in the knee.
Yep. Me and my trainer, we've been going hard for 3-4 months now. That's 6 months now. So just really putting in the work every day and trying to get 1% better each day. And coming off my injury, I really didn't get a true rehab off season with the pandemic and everything. So right when I got cleared, I didn't really have that opportunity to continue to rehab. I was kind of isolated. I had to figure it out myself. So now having that winter workout session where I can better my knee and better myself as an athlete and as a player has been really a great opportunity. And my trainer, he's one of the best out there. So the credit is due to him, but we really put in the hours and I'm really looking forward to what happens, you know, from now on.
You recently got an opportunity to take part in one of the Elite 11 camps down in Indianapolis. What was that experience like?
It was a great experience. Great coaches, great players, great people. Interacting with other great players from around the country, especially at my position, because in this state, there's not many guys like that, if any. So to go out and really link up and connect with these guys who are also great players and going to play on big stages around the country at big schools, it's definitely a great opportunity. And I felt that I performed well as well. That was obviously the goal, was making the Elite 11 finals. And that's still a realistic opportunity in the future with I'm sure the callbacks are coming up soon after their last camp, but I'm hoping for the best. But at the end of the day, it was a great opportunity. You got to meet some great people. So definitely something that I've been looking forward to since I was a little kid.
As I mentioned before, the 2022 class, you're the first commit. You're the only commit right now. Obviously, I guess technically Braylon Allen would have been the first commit would have been the first commit.
Yeah.
Had he stayed in that, in your class, he didn't. But I wanted to kind of talk about some of the other guys. And I know when you committed, you tweeted about it, you know, kind of becoming an ambassador and an extra recruiter yourself and trying to get some mm-hmm. of those guys to stay home. What have some of those conversations been like? Who are some of the guys that you've been talking to?
Mainly, you know, the guys in state. Those are my guys. We've all been pretty close since last January. So January of 2020, we've been really close. So making, you know, connect with those guys. It's different coming from a fellow recruit and a fellow guy in state instead of a coaches, because I can connect with them personally and become more of friends than a recruiter to a recruit relationship. It's more of a friend to a friend relationship. So definitely connecting with those guys, you know, Joe, Billy, Isaac, Carson, And now Barrett and Andrew Keller. So just trying to get these in-state guys to, you know what's up and know that home is home. And really just trying to fine-tune this class. I think the month of June is going to be big when it comes to commits. I know there's some guys close, but I'll probably keep that information, you know, close to me. It's just so they can have their moment. But yeah, I'm just definitely looking forward to the month of June. I think we'll probably start to fill out the class in June and July as official visits come up, but I'm just really looking forward to it. And I know there's going to be some great players who come play with me.
Have you had a chance to, obviously, you know, with pandemic and not being able to be on campus, you've been to Madison a bunch, but is it going to be different being able to be on campus and taking in that official visit and kind of, you know, getting involved in the program itself and not just be on the periphery?
Oh yeah. You know, obviously growing up here, I've been to Madison plenty of times, seen the campus, done tours and stuff like that ever since I was younger. But I've never been on an official, like, visit, unofficial, whatever, to Madison. So this would be my first time seeing around the facilities and meeting the coaches and stuff like that, because my scheduled unofficials were, I was going to have two of them in March and to see spring practice and stuff like that. And I was probably going to go up there and camp. But obviously those opportunities weren't there this last year. So this will be my first real visit to Wisconsin. So I'm really looking forward to it. I know me and my family are looking forward to it. And I'm really just looking forward to have a good time and meeting the guys and hopefully getting some commits.
Yeah, it's going to be – it's a huge month, obviously, with all those official visits coming in the early part and then yours in the middle of the month. I wanted to close just by asking you about Braylon and about another guy that you have spent time with in Hunter Woller. Give me a scouting report on both of those guys.
So I'd say my scouting report for Hunter first is definitely a threat in the secondary. Guy you really have to move with your eyes, otherwise he's going to make some serious problems in the second half of the field. I know we played him. The scouting report was, you know, throw away from him, to be honest. He's a guy you're not going to want to target much. He's a playmaker. I know Muskego, they really just say put Hunter out there and make plays. He can make plays all over the field. He's going to come in the box. He's going to make plays on the run and make plays in the pass game. So some of the things he does are incredible, and I'm really, really looking forward to playing with him and not against him. But, you know, I really would like one more opportunity at Muskego. I know we didn't get it this year, but that would be a what-if moment for the rest of our lives, I guess. So that's my take on Hunter Woller. Definitely the best safety I've ever played. Second, got Braylon Allen, my best friend. Played him my sophomore year, first start. We played Braylon Allen 1.0. Now everyone else is playing Braylon Allen 2.0, which I'm kind of glad I didn't have to see Braylon Allen 2.0, because he's kind of probably the scariest player I've ever seen in my life. So he's a guy who fills the hole, no remorse when it comes to getting to the point of contact. And then now as a running back, he's definitely somebody who just is explosive, has great change of direction, has no fear of any player. I didn't really see him shy away from any hits. And then especially him in the weight room, he's actually living with my trainer right now. He does some stuff in the weight room that is ridiculous, and it blows my mind. So both those guys are two guys that I'm, once again, glad I get to play with them and not against them, because I know if I went somewhere else in the Big Ten, I probably could have been taking a few shots from both of them. But yeah, two great players. I'm just really, really excited to play with them.
Are you hoping to see Braylon on offense or defense?
I mean, we've been talking about how dangerous that backfield would be with me and Braylon. So I don't know. That could be a scary backfield in the Big Ten. But, you know, it's up to him. Obviously, the best chance for him to get on the field and the best chance for him to make to the next level, because obviously Braylon will be a Sunday player eventually. I don't think it takes any strict analysis to see that. But, yeah, I hope he's on offense, but I mean, he's a killer on defense, so we'll see.
I lied. I have one more question, and it's about Paul Chris, because I think, at least from an outside perspective, you know, the media and fans and the way that he interacts with the media, and just, you know, he's kind of a low-key guy, and you don't get a lot of his personality and those type of things. What was getting to know him like? And obviously, you know, you haven't been able to be, have you met him in person, or has it just been all over the Zoom?
All over message, FaceTime, all that. So
okay, so you haven't actually met him yet, but you've gotten to what were those messages and FaceTime and that type of stuff? What was that like? And did he show a different side of his personality in those meetings?
Yeah, I feel like everyone's kind of perspective of him from the media and from outside sources, you know, he's really low key, but he's really a great coach. He just really cares about his players, but he really does truly care about his players. He takes the time to get to know you. He really wants to know everything around your life, whether it's and all the stuff outside of football. You know, Coach Chris, he really cares about the person you are, not the football player. And obviously he's going to make you the best football player you can be, but he wants you to leave Wisconsin as the best person you can be. So, you know, whether it's ask you how school is going or ask you how your girlfriend is or how your family is, or, you know, just joking around with you and making you laugh and stuff like that. He's a really great person more than a great coach. And I'm just really excited to strengthen my bond with him. I know I'm going to probably spend some time with him this summer, and I'm really looking forward to that, but he's definitely a player's coach, and he definitely cares about the people on his team. And that's the one thing about Wisconsin is you can say that we have great people in our program. So that all stems from Coach Chris. So I'm just really excited to get up there and hang out with him. But, you know, he really cares about the person you are. And it's just amazing the type of person he is.
Well, now you got him as your position coach as well, right? Yep. with John Budmeier moving on. So, all right. Hey, Miles, certainly appreciate your time and good luck this upcoming season. Can't wait to get you here in Madison.
Thank you.
All right, so that is going to do it for this week's show. Certainly appreciate Miles and Matt and John jumping on and giving us some insight into things that are going on in their life and obviously insight into the Badgers. And we will continue to hopefully do a few more shows here over the next month, especially as recruiting gets ramped up and we get some more names that are going to be committing to the Badgers and leading into July and Big Ten Media Days, crossing our fingers on that one. And then, of course, football camp getting going at the end of July and early August. Until next time, you've been listening to The Camp here on the Wisconsin Sports Zone Radio Network.